children's director here at Hillcrest. And on fifth Sundays, we kind of cancel our clubhouse, which is our elementary Sunday school upstairs, so that they can be a part of fifth Sunday service. And on fifth Sundays, we have baptisms and we have communion. Yep. And it's a part of our ministry here at Hillcrest that I saw missing in our children, because they are often in our church upstairs. Well, you big people, we call you big church, are doing this down here. And I wanted to give them an opportunity to be in worship with their parents. So on fifth Sunday, we cancel on purpose. So today we didn't have any baptisms, but we will be taking part in communion towards the gift. So I get to bring the message on fifth Sundays. And today when I sing this song, I want all the kids to come join me up at my fishing pond. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Sing it with me.
If you follow me, if you follow me,
I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Little hands. All right, well, this morning, I thought fishing is just perfect for the month of June, because it makes us think of summer. So close your eyes and think to yourself, what do I know about fishing? And if you think of something, put your finger on your nose because you know. And have you ever gone fishing? Raise your hand if you've gone fishing.
Should we pull the audience here?
Raise your hand if you've ever gone fishing.
I haven't.
You have not. Well, we're going to have to fulfill this child's need. I think there's a Uncle Larry up there who'll probably take you. You catch fish. The grown-ups would see again. Who's not, okay, how about who has never gone fishing? Okay, at least my son says it is a lie. I've gone, but I've gone to watch and congratulate. But there's a lot of things about it that I just don't like. I don't like the wiggly. I don't like the hook. And anyone who follows me on Facebook would know that this week, the hooks were not my friends. So I have to tell you, like, God could not have set this message up any better than my night, Friday night, when I hear my youngest son say, "Mommy, something's trying to get me in my pants." So I run to his room, and he's trying to put on sweatpants, fresh from his drawer, mind you. This is only in a house of three boys when you have them. And they're the fishing lure, so he said that they lure, this is a hook, fishing lure in his foot, attached to his pants. I don't know how this is happening. So I try to channel my inner mother when I'm very calm-spirited, like my mother always was, and not panic. So I told Brian, hold the pants so it doesn't hang on his foot and cause it any worse. And by the grace of God, I got that with very little tears and very little screaming. But the story doesn't end there. Pastor Brian, my husband, decides we're not throwing these pants away and tries to get the lure out of the pants. Perfectly good riches, my son needs. And he gets it in his thumb. And I hear him screaming. And so he's like, just get it out. And I couldn't without him screaming, so I get my purse and say, we're headed to a cute care, dear. No, we're not. And he closes his eyes and he yanks it out of his cup. Moral of the story, I know, because this would not have been any more fitting for today. Moral of the story, boys and girls, we don't play with fishing things inside the house. Maybe not. So I have had fishing on my mind, needless to say. So I am really in costume, and I'd love to just kind of give you a scene as we think about what we're going to study today. And if you dive into the scriptures, especially when you get to the New Testament, it's when Jesus was right here on earth walking and talking with us, which I find miraculous. There are places, in fact, Pastor Doug has been there, and everyone has taken pictures and go, Jesus' feet were right there. He's got pictures because he got to go on that journey and see where Jesus was. So we're going to kind of go back in time. We're going to dive into the New Testament and pretend that we are right where Jesus was walking. Okay? I want to show you what it looked like in Bible times when the fishermen went out to fish, and then I'll explain why. So here's our first picture. Miss Tarina has gone high tech. Thank you very much. So this is actually a Bible time kind of figure picture of what it looked like when they went out to go fishing. Now, fishing in this time period was their way of life. Like, we do it, what I would call a leisure activity. Some fishermen may say it's a job. But I believe it's this relaxation, it kind of screams vacation. We can't do it from our house, can we? Do we live on the water? I don't think any of y'all live on the water. Yeah, there's cabins and people go away to go fishing. So in that time, they were actually fishing because that's not only how they ate, but that's how they had money, because they would sell their fish. This is what fishing looks like today. That's Larry. Larry is our king of fishermen here at Hillcrest. He's taken my kids fishing many times, which I'm thankful for because we don't know how to do it. So now we do it for fun and we eat it. Do you like to eat fish?
Yeah.
Yes, I like walleye, deep pan fried.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. But back then it was a part of how they had to get their money and their living. So Jesus, when he was wanting to spread his good news, he went to where the people are. So here we are, and we're going to pretend we're at the Sea of Galilee today. Now people were already crowded there because they were what?
Fishing.
And when you look into the in the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he went to where the crowd was. He didn't ask them to come to him. However, when Jesus began to gather to share his good news and to share his plan for our lives, people came and flocked to the scene. So we're going to pretend that you were flocking to the scene of Galilee. But he came out to the Sea of Galilee for something very important. He went to call people to come and follow him, which is why the song is, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. So we fish for fish, and Jesus took an analogy. He was really good with analogies. He would go from mustard seeds to something big in your life. He was always trying to play with words that would affect people and get them right where they were. So if you go out to go fishing for fish, he went out to go fishing for what he called his disciples. Can anyone name a disciple? Name one.
Ooh, good one. Yep.
Yeah, so you go pretty safe with some of these names because they just flow from our time because they don't have to make a decision if they're worth. Very good. The calling of the first disciples came in Matthew 4:19. So let's look at this together. This is the Sea of Galilee. Really put your eyes on it. The cool thing about that picture is that it's That is the Sea of Galilee today. So that is exactly where they were fishing, and that's exactly where Jesus went to call his first disciples. I think that's kind of a miraculous thing. And I really recommend that you dive into the Gospels. Maybe this summer you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. So let's look at our first scripture. It's at Matthew 4:19, and I want you to read it with me. Ready? Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." So if you didn't know who Jesus was, but maybe you heard rumblings in your local town, and you are a fisherman fishing for fish, for money, and for food, and Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will teach you and show you how to fish for who?"
People.
Do you think he'd be thinking a little crazy? Here's the neatest part. It was two sets of brothers that Jesus went out to go call as his first disciples. He went out and he got these two brothers with Peter and Andrew, and he got James and John. So I love the fact that these brothers were out together fishing, and he called them all together. He didn't say, "Just Peter, come here," right? He called the four, and do you know what they did? What do you think they did? He followed them. They listened the first time. Do you listen the first time? You know why they're giggling? Rarely do we obey the first time. So do you think there was already a stirring in their hearts that they were called to something of greatness? Or maybe he was just such an amazing person standing on the sea that they thought, "Well, I'm not going to balk this man, I'm going to go." Whatever it was, something stirred in them and they dropped what they were doing and they came to shore. Now fishing in Bible times, they would be on a boat and they would cast their nets. They'd cast them over, and all they would have to do is yank on their net and hope that a bunch of fish would just jump into that net. Can we fish like that today?
No.
Yeah. Really? Okay, where? Because I think I could do a net. I can't do a rod. Maybe the ocean. I kind of think the fish have maybe gotten smarter over the years, and the answer would go hard. And you are right. Okay, we've got some real fishermen here. That's how crawfish and crabs are caught. Catch that. Yep, that's true. The deadliest catch. Yep. Now we're getting to some shows. See, we're bringing the relevancy of today. Yes. But my point was, they didn't use rods, and they weren't sitting on chairs and leisurely casting out their. Hold on. No. Lure. No. The string.
Fishing line.
Ooh. That's as far as I can get to people. Hey, don't take me out. They weren't just casually fishing. They were intently trying to get their money for the day. And they dropped everything. And they came to follow Jesus. Now, when they came onto shore, Jesus wanted them to have a very special job as the disciples. What was their very main job? He says, if you follow me, I will teach you and show you how to fish for people. Now, it's a really big word. It's called evangelism. Can you say that word? Jesus called the first disciples because Jesus couldn't do it on his own. And Jesus already knew what his destiny was. He wasn't going to be walking on this earth forever, was he? He needed to die on the cross so we could take him as our Lord and Savior. And what are we to do with that information? Are we to keep it hidden under a bushel? Or? Yes. Now, what's the other little kids on what we talk about? Do I ever teach that I'm telling you some of the good news and you don't tell anybody? Do we say that? What do we say in church? Tell everybody. You are not supposed to keep the good news to yourself. So there's a step that people have to take in their lives. They have to accept that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. And then we have to tell others. So the disciples' job was to follow Jesus and to learn as much as they could. And what I love about the disciples and the people who came together, do you know where they sat? You know who else sat at his feet? The little children. He didn't turn the children away. He said, come. Wherever there was people, he was ready to share the good news. So the disciples sat at his feet, and they began to learn, and they began to take in all of his information, and their job was to travel with Jesus and continue to spread the good word. Now, evangelism looks like a big word to kids, but I have some easy, easy ways that we can do this in our lives. Are you ready? Okay, here's the first one. I call this setting you up for success. I designed these cute little drawings and events, and then this Jen, who is our amazing administrative assistant, makes them fancy. So what are these that I can give you all your life? These are postcards, and what do I tell you?
We invite you all.
Who do we invite? One to our friend, and one to our neighbor. Big church, is that evangelism? Did you have to do anything that made you super duper uncomfortable? Did I say give it to the scariest, roughest kid in your class? No. I said, choose. Who do you want to invite? So I gave it to you for VBS. I gave one to you for our extravaganza. And I gave you one for our movie night. Now when you came to these events, like the movie night was just pure fun, right? That's okay. You can come to church just to have fun. Did you know that? Just for fun. The extravaganza was fun, and I did a little message, and you got free food. Is that fun?
Yeah.
Did you have to do any hard work?
No.
No? I did go. And PBS, fun, and every night, what did I do? Our team talked about Jesus. So you don't have to be put in some big spotlight. You just have to bring them. You just have to share the good word. So here's an easy way to evangelize. You take these postcards, you hang one on your fridge, you give one to your neighbor, you give one to a friend at school. But there's more you can do. We have our summer fun days. Those are just fun events. But here's the cool thing about this. Say you bring your friend to your summer fun event. We had 17 kindergarten and first graders come. And all of them said what verse?
John 3:16.
And then I paved their way. That was our deal. They can say their memory verse for that age group, then I paved their way. So if a friend came along to that event and they hear you say John 3:16, they might begin to get a little curious and say, why does John 3:16 matter to you? Do you have an answer? Think about it. Why is John 3:16 so important? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's our foundation, isn't it? Now, if you have friends that come over to your house and other ways we can evangelize, this is when I brought our parents here to perk up. Are you perking up, parents? Because you can kind of help with this. These are some ways that you can help your children evangelize. And we aren't, like, screaming from the rooftops. We aren't putting people on the spot, making them feel uncomfortable. But we should be immersed in the Word. So not only should you have a Bible in your house, maybe on your table, You should have maybe family devotionals. If a friend comes over for supper and you do a family devotional at supper, parents, should you read it anyway? Absolutely. You're not going to make them feel uncomfortable. They're a part of your supper. They're a part of your evening. So they just take part. But you don't have to make it any big thing. And you've just helped your child evangelize to a friend that's had a sleepover. Some other fun ways, when my kids got baptized, they got to go have fun spending money at Crossroads. So in each of their bedrooms, they got to pick something that they wanted to kind of represent their baptism by. But would this speak of multitude if a friend was sleeping over at your house and they just happened to see? So my Riley picked out the teen commandments, so it's kind of a teen way of saying it. Like it says, watch your language and make faith a priority. So it's even phrased in kind of a fun way. Do you get it? Because it's like the Ten Commandments, but it's called the Teen Commandments. So don't get confused, because second and third graders have to learn the Ten Commandments for their summer fun day this next month. Also, parents, have something on your wall. I have the Lord's Prayer hanging up with an angel, just as a decor, but it also means the world to you. If your house is immersed in the scriptures and in the word, not only are you putting it as a foundation to your family, then we put it in our hearts, we put it in our minds, so it flows out of our mouth freely. But these children are just as curious as adults are. And as they are part of your family and they're in your home, they're going to see, oh, there's something different about them, because they have this painting. I have the fruits of the Spirit in my kitchen. I love the fruits of the Spirit. If there's any way that I can sum up for my kids how we are to be, show grace, show love. With the fruits of the Spirit. Those are ways that you can evangelize to your friends. Has anyone had any opportunities where they've been able to share the good news? Charlie. And what did you do? What did you have in your pocket? That's what I asked you. What did you have in your pocket? I said, what was that? So he had a coin in his pocket and happened to have sharing day, and he chose to share his coin that he had got from baptism, and a friend asked. And so over recess, he got to share why the coin had something in it, to give a scripture verse. In my life, I've had different opportunities from very mild to very bold. You want to hear my most bold approach that I've ever done? And I was your age. Who's in second grade right now? In second grade, I got a little fire lit under me, and I decided, really, 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 we need to be saved. And my friends all need to be saved because I want them to be in heaven with me someday. And I got pretty passionate about it. And I had never put my light under a bushel. I've been a believer my whole life. And I just had this deep, deep desire to make sure people were going to be in heaven with me someday. And so I kind of put the word out that if they wanted to put Jesus in their heart, they could meet me behind the bushes. And in second grade, for about 2 weeks, I had a steady flow of friends meeting me behind the bushel. I'm not kidding. And I look back and I think, wow, that was bold. And sometimes we are bold as children and we lose that as we grow old. Is that true? We get complacent. We get nervous about other people's opinions. And my favorite thing about Jesus is that he is with you the entire time. It is not by mistake that someone asks you a question. And time after time, I remember passing a note in junior high to someone I thought really needed to know about the Lord. And in high school, helping a friend become a believer and just walking her through that journey. Into my very first job teaching third grade, a coworker walking into my room and saying, I want what you have, and being able to pray with her in my classroom after school one day. God's going to give you the opportunities to evangelize, and it can be very minor, and this is what I think is minor. Put your hand like this. You have a light in you. If you love the Lord, he's already instilled with you everything you need to know. It is our job to make sure, go bigger, that our light is just shining. People will see something different in you, and an opportunity will come. And you have to take the time to know the word so that you know what to say. We don't want to hide it. We are to be a light in a dark world. And God will give us those opportunities. Let me pray for you as I send you back. And then you have some goldfish crackers from our fishing day. And a sermon take-home sheet that you can take with you. My prayer for you is that you will be approached with an opportunity. And that you will make a difference. And God will give you all the words you need. You just need to take it and deliver it. And that will be an opportunity for you. Quiet your hearts and minds. Please pray. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for an opportunity just to be in your word. We thank you that you called us to fish for people. I pray for these boys and girls that they would just constantly be learning what it means to not hide the love for you in their hearts, but to share it with others. I pray for minor moments in their lives where they realize that this is an opportunity that they have and that they would take it. Give them guts, give them glory to just be able to share your good word with their friends, and it can be as simple as living differently than they do. We make different choices. We say things differently. We love on people differently. We walk away from things that are ugly and evil. Lord, I pray that you just fill their cup with goodness and boldness and allow them to know that right here today where their feet are planted, they are to evangelize and to make sure others know you, Lord, and that we can walk in your light. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Take a goldfish and a permission to be connected.